tape projection.
Hello, welcome to the podcast, Taking It Down. We're part of the Alabama Take family of podcasts and writings, and we're growing more and more every day. You can find more there at thealabamatake.com, including a link to our shop at our online store. It's just a Tee Public store for now, where you can get any of our t-shirts, logos, on mugs, whatever. You know, we have a lot of shows and a lot of different logos that you can mix and match on colors and find yourself something. That money goes to us. It helps with the site cost. We are a DIY website, if you haven't figured it out. So anything like that is very helpful. If you want to just donate, that's awesome. There's also a link you can click to donate. You can pick Buy Me a Coffee. You can just go straight to Venmo if that's what you want to do. It will take care of thealabamatake.com. But today on our show, we fools of taking it down. We're going to give some varied opinions. A very short, brief, non-spoiler third episode of David Simon's show, We Own the City. Just very quick thoughts. That'll be on HBO Max if you haven't watched them. Only three episodes have aired. It's a six-episode show. We will talk about The Challenge All-Stars, which has made its return on Paramount Plus with two episodes dropping for its third season premiere. If you know us, we rarely avoid talking about The Challenge. It's going to be a wonderful show today. I can guarantee you that, listener. Stick with us. A quick programming note, though, we will be off next week. No episode of Taking It Down on May 24th. You want to know why? We'll all be celebrating Bob Dylan's birthday. The man's 81.
That's a miracle.
That man is 81 and has a Nobel Prize. What more does he need? And a new mattress that...
Go on about the mattress.
Did you ever see that? It was like a classic clickhole thing where it was like, we're going to buy Bob Dylan a mattress if enough people like donate to buy Bob Dylan a mattress. And I think they actually did it.
No, I missed that.
It was luckily, years ago.
He's got everything as far as awards go. Well, I mean, he's not an EGOT, I suppose, but he does have an Oscar. I mean, he's 80. Anyway, I could go on and on about this, but we won't get to next week because we won't have a show. We'll take a break. What we'll do is we'll take that break, and maybe you, if you're a wrestling fan, that'll give you time to check out and indulge yourself on one of our new podcasts, Alabama Slam, which will be out on May 20th, Friday. So check that out instead, okay? Joining me today, you've already heard from him. Do I need to introduce my usual co-host that you've come to hate? First off, here's the guy who's responsible for Twitter banning free speech. This is him. It's Adam Morrow.
I'd do it again too, Blaine. In a heartbeat.
It's Elon Musk's number one rival these days. And by way of introduction, I'll say our other co-host, maybe better known as the brilliant mind behind TikTok, it's Donovan Reinwald.
It's great to be here, Blaine.
You know, I'm not a big ASMR guy. It always felt like bullshit to me. I understand the appeal, I think, but I can certainly understand the appeal now. Now that every week I look forward to Donovan leaning into that microphone and saying how happy he is to be
just
here.
Just put that on a loop.
And listeners, in case you didn't catch us, talk about it one other time. Donovan takes a really long time to lean into the mic. It's edited out in the actual post-production. So you don't get to hear how long it takes. It's seconds.
Long seconds.
I just want, as Adam said, I'm so happy to be here. I want the moment preserved in Amber.
In Amber Heard?
Are we still on that? No. Is that still going on?
It opened up the SNL cold open last night. Rather than doing a political sketch, they did a Johnny Depp on the stand sketch. Then it wasn't very good. So, yeah, apparently America is still on that. I'm over it. I never was on it.
Well, you were never on it, so you can't be over it.
Yeah, I complained about it a couple weeks ago. Let's do our first official segment on the show. It's the Done Up Real Good Listener of the Week. This week, Dr. Haley Campbell. She was at the show.
Ah.
Yeah, give it up for Dr. Haley. Dr. Haley was actually at a very important cultural event that I think would segue nicely into me asking Adam a couple questions. You were at a cultural event, I called it. What else could it be called? A big moment in Alabama history, maybe. Or it could be, time will tell, for North Alabama. It was the opening of the Orion in Huntsville, this nice amphitheater. Looked to be a very nice setting for a show. Looked to be well built. All the pictures and videos from the show I saw throughout the weekend, two-night stand thing, looked really cool.
I thought it was great. I thought it was very well designed, very well run. You know, they did kind of a soft open show last weekend and then had this one. And a four-band bill, you have to be there kind of early in the day. We had plenty of time to walk around and kind of peek in different places. And it was, you know, there's some stuff like the event staff is still getting up to speed, as you would expect. But all things, it will be smoothed over. The actual nuts and bolts of the operation were fantastic. Great experience in the back. And then I went out, and I'm still pinching myself every time I get to say stuff like this, but watched Emmylou Harris soundcheck so that I could hear what it sounded like out front before the show, before we went up to play. And it.
How does it sound out front?
It sounded great out front. It helps that when she sings, it still sounds like Emmylou Harris singing. You know, that sounds good kind of no matter what.
Sure.
You know, it's a very vertical amphitheater, maybe in contrast to the way that a lot of them just kind of have a gradual grade towards the back. So meaning that your sections in the back are still very close to the stage, which I think helps with both visuals and sound.
Oh, I was going to say it's one of those everyone has a good seat kind of.
It felt that way. They come in pretty close on the, if you're standing on the stage, it's like there's people that are kind of on the sides. And I always wonder about sound over there since you're kind of off center. But everybody said sound was good. It's a real miracle that is in North Alabama, I think. You know, if you compare it with, say, like the Tuscaloosa Amphitheater, I mean,
we couldn't help but make that comparison.
Which is still, you know, I've seen some great shows there, and I think it's a great credit to that moment in Tuscaloosa leadership that they got that thing built. But this is on another level. This has the, you know, Huntsville is Alabama's biggest city, or will be soon. Nothing but growth happening there and a lot of money. And I think this has the chance to become a real deal, nationally talked about stopping point for big bands if they do it right.
Did Mark Zuckerberg buy up farmland very near it? Is that what's happened?
I don't know about that.
Tim Apple is buying farmland around it.
Yeah.
Is that what? No, you told me this. The U.S. is structuring, already got going an FBI headquarters in Huntsville. That's a thing.
Some weird stuff.
But that's not a secret.
Afoot in Huntsville.
Last night or yesterday, this weekend, it was announced that Huntsville International Airport will be the first to allow space planes to land on it.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg and the like are buying up farmland in North Alabama. What's going on? Somebody put all these pieces together for us. Email us and tell us if we should be worried or or happy. Or
I have a friend.
Somebody help us here.
Has a Word document going called Alabama Sus. He's collecting all of
I want this work. Is it Nathan Pitts? Because
no.
He would love to be in on this document.
Yeah. Hey, Huntsville's an interesting place, you know? And it's in, if you want to, no disrespect at all to Huntsville, but they leaned very heavily into the Muscle Shoals thing, maybe for establishing some artistic cred, like even behind the scenes, like a lot of the like artwork and whatever kind of reference Muscle Shoals, which
for
the Orion, yeah, which is totally fair. I mean, this is, I feel like there's a lot more, I mean, people go back and forth between those two areas of North Alabama pretty frequently for work or for whatever, mm-hmm. So, but it'll be interesting, a place that has this much explosive stuff happening in terms of population growth and financial growth. Well, yeah, you're laughing.
And an arsenal. Bomb.
Yeah, but literally, I just mean population, and please don't come investigate me.
I live 30 miles south of Huntsville, 35 minutes south of Huntsville, and it's twice a year, three times a year that we'll get an email or the newspaper on Facebook or whatever will say, Worry not, the loud noise you heard was a test being done in Huntsville today.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, about two or three times a year, and it will be a very loud boom, and we're 35 minutes away.
But it'll be interesting to see all of those factors that maybe don't have, like, a super rich cultural history or arts culture history. You almost have, like, a new base that is ready for to support stuff. I mean, they've had the Von Braun Center going. I saw Bob Dylan there right before the pandemic, and it was great and well attended. So it seems like people are stoked and ready to come out and support.
Bob Dylan, who turns 81. I don't know if you've mentioned that. Yeah.
I've heard tell.
As long as Huntsville doesn't dump cancer in our water down here, I just don't be doing shit like that. You know, they're up there building bombs. That's maybe bad enough.
Space bombs.
Space bombs is probably right. Blue Origin's based out of there. The Jeff Bezos, you know, space. I've got a friend who works there and claims it's one of the best jobs ever.
This is crazy stuff.
I don't know. It is crazy. It's weird, and we haven't put the puzzle pieces together to see the whole picture, and we're interested if anybody else can, so.
I'm just a simple country guitar player. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I'm just a high school teacher trying to make my way.
You're not here for the, you're saying you're not totally dialed into the ins and outs of the aerospace industry and the military industrial complex?
Not unless it's mentioned in an Eisenhower speech that I'm dissecting next week with my students, you know. It is fascinating. Our listener of the week, Dr. Haley Campbell, brought us there. She was at that show, said it was a good show. So kudos, Adam. Adam played it. Real cool bit of history to be involved in there. Let's shift gears. I damn near am lost in the deluge of movies and TV, and it's just going to get worse, especially with movies, because summer. We honestly could do at least half an episode, if not a whole episode, on any one of these shows I'm going to mention. I'm just going to rattle off some. Adam and Donovan are going to chime in. These are some I've either been actively watching and haven't talked about on the show, or want to start out watching very soon. And this is just gives you an idea of how crazy it all is right now. There's Barry on HBO, and Donovan's caught up on it.
It's still great.
All right.
Good check-in.
There's Better Call Saul on AMC. They've divided this last season up into two, though only putting a couple of months in between them, so you don't have to wait a year. There's Breeders on Hulu, a show I've watched, I wouldn't say secretly, but it's one I've never really brought up much. I've written about it on the site. Its third season has begun on Hulu. Very interesting show.
Is that one worth a watch?
It is. Okay. It is, if you, especially for parents, it's got that thing that really links up to what it's like exactly to raise a kid. You know, like shows and television and fiction should do, it ramps up that dramatic tension just a little bit, but it's still mired in the realism, and I like that. There's The Staircase on HBO Max, which sounds intriguing. I haven't started that one. I might. If summer can help me out and get here soon. There's Winning Time on HBO, and man, that's been a roller coaster. So fun to watch. I just need more hours in a day because that one's a hoot. There's Russian Doll on Netflix. I only have a couple episodes left, but when can I get to them? And that one, I will say, the second season of Russian Doll on Netflix doesn't seem to be quite as good as the first season.
I want to finish it before.
Yeah.
Fully diving in, I think, with an opinion on that comparison.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, right now I think it might have faults that the first season didn't. We'll see. Yeah. There's Outer Range on Amazon, and I love that show. I just want to just binge it, really. Outer Range starring Josh Brolin as a grandfather in Wyoming. I mean, I want to know what's happening there. And it could fall apart, but it's very interesting right now. I only have a couple more episodes of Our Flag Means Death on HBO Max. And
I finished that. That one got consistently better.
It did, didn't it? And I've got a few episodes left, but that everyone gets a little bit better when Taika Waititi shows up, of course.
That's a big boost.
Yeah, and you loved it, right?
You know, I came away, I think I did love it by the end of it. once you kind of get into the rhythms of the characters, it hits the point where, like, when characters say something, it's like, oh, everything they say is funny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You pulled out Black Pete, especially, as someone who is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, he's very hilarious.
Every time, he adds the word babe to his repertoire, and every time he says it, it's... The reason, funny.
See, I can laugh because he's got such a cadence to his mm-hmm. speech. And so when you tell me what he says, I can hear it. You know, he appears in the show Outer Range as a deputy.
Really?
Yeah. So he's having a good year. Yeah. Good for funny, him. Funny guy. He's kind of funny in that, too. Made for Love is back on HBO Max for its second season. That did not take long for a second season to appear. And we haven't, we talked a little about that first season with Kristen Maloney, you know, it's just lost in another bunch of TV shows.
That Hacks. One got lost in the shuffle for me. I hate to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, it did. Hacks on HBO Max, again, second season. Now, Adam is the only one of us three who watched Hacks season one, but I think all three of us want to watch the show.
I'm surprised that y'all didn't do season one, and I know that it's a time thing and that there's... I mean, that's the whole point of this portion of the show today, but it is so, so, so good. And so up y'all's alley. And season two has started off strong. So y'all got to get in on this.
Well, I do believe I will make an effort to on some of these summer days that might work well for a lunchtime viewing. There's Shining Girls on Apple TV. Elizabeth Moss almost can't go wrong. This is supposed to be a timey-wimey type of show on Apple TV Plus. I think Apple TV Plus is putting out quality television. They're not doing the Netflix things where they're giving you 30 shows a week. They're doing like one show a week after another one has ended and kind of playing smart, I think, with their shows and trying to do quality over quantity. Then there's The Baby on HBO. We all three debated watching this one. We on this city kind of got voted in its place and we went with that. I'm still intrigued. And the wife and I have specifically set aside Under the Banner of Heaven on Hulu with Andrew Garfield investigating an 80s Mormon murder case. I mean, that alone, those three things alone sound, you know, Andrew Garfield, 1980s murder case, Mormon. I mean,
four things.
Four, excuse me. My math is not so great. Anyway, guys, that's kind of why we're taking a break next week. We're going to see if we can't watch a few of these things. Not to say, I think, like, Top Gun's about to be in the theater. I'm eager to see that. Probably will see it in the theater if I can make it to the theater. And it's just, it's a promising, for a show like us, it's a promising time of year. And I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying, I'm so pumped. I'm just going to take a week off and just drown in the deluge of
just
the
binge.
It is odd to go from the pandemic era of consumption where it was like clinging to the life raft of if anything was like remotely good, it's like, oh my God, this has to get me through the next 8 weeks or whatever, to now just being, things are ramped back up. And I guess mm-hmm. it's been ramped up for long enough that we have what we have right now, just a glut of potentially great stuff.
Oh, I didn't even mention Atlanta, which
yeah.
I'm way behind on.
Atlanta has been consistently, they keep doing these one-off episodes where that don't really intersect, kind of like they did for the opener. The last one they did was really interesting and really great, I thought.
That's, I'm pumped.
There's definitely not resting on their laurels.
And they're not the crew to do that.
No.
They're not the kind of crew.
No,
they're not.
And then, Atlanta's been great.
That takes us to one of the shows we are keeping up with or did an okay job of, We on This City. We're not going to do spoilers for this third episode at all. There are only three. They're going to be six total. I just want Donovan to very vaguely, I know you're going to tell me that it was probably good. My question, I suppose, is did it just progress the story in the third episode and give you some of those ideas so that you see where they click together and how this character clicks and fits more with, you know?
Yeah.
Is it just more of that?
It was a lot of that. It was what my mini review is, it is extending what we saw in the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. So, like, you've got Jenkins getting more into... You see him getting more into the corruption that's going to bring him down.
Is watching him devolve into that corruption... That's probably the centerpiece. It looked as though it's going to be after episode two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's John Bernthal's character.
He's doing real good. And it's continuing with Wunmi Misaku's character trying to figure out what can be done in this city. You know, it's kind of continuing the themes of she's going and providing an important counterpoint to the kind of point of view characters that we get, who are these corrupt cops. So she's kind of extending her work and still going. So pretty much every theme is extended and deepened. Suter fits in a little bit more. We get a little bit more of his background.
Does Herschel play a role in episode three much?
Herschel is in episode three, and he gets reassigned. This is in the synopsis, so I don't think it's a spoiler. Okay. He gets reassigned to the Gun Trace Task Force.
Oh, I didn't know that would happen. So this is the show with David Simon and his crew that did The Wire, his study on the Baltimore police, but it takes a lot more storylines from nonfiction, including the aftermath of Freddie Gray's murder and the dissolution of the Gun Task Force that Donovan mentioned. It's divided up into parts, and that was Donovan's overview of part three. If you haven't made it that far, I encourage you to watch it. It's very deep. It's, if you're a fan of The Wire, you're of course going to watch it. But if you're also interested in why police brutality happens beyond racism, that's an obvious answer and a true answer. But what else happens adjacent to that? Then this is a very good show that does an okay job, I think, of laying all that out there without beating you over the head with it.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think it kind of asks, what is the purpose of policing?
It does. And there's an answer.
And also, kind of like with The Wire, it's in the background, too, that if you're fighting a drug war, you can justify almost anything. If you're fighting a war, you can justify almost anything. So how does policing intersect with these kinds of, you know, we're fighting a drug war and we're statistics driven, where the more arrests we get, the better we look, stuff like that. Is that the purpose of policing, or is the purpose of policing something else entirely?
Donovan and Adam, do you want to give your opinion on what policing should be?
I think we've seen some, even the show itself presents some alternative. I'm by no means an expert, but we do see, at least in the show, cops who are interested seem to be more interested in community policing, where they're more embedded in the community, and it's more about building trust and rapport with the communities that you're embedded in, instead of, you know, I think earlier in the show there's a line like, there's no greater dictator in America than a beat cop on his patrol,
on his corner.
Thank you. And I think I'm not an expert, and I'm not, there's a lot of complicated issues there, but I think that we do kind of we're at least offered some alternatives to think about. We're offered some alternatives to think about what is, if the motto is protect and serve for some places, what does that actually look like? Mm-hmm. And what does it look like when it falls apart?
You know, in the awful wake of George Floyd's murder, defund the police became the rally call. So feel free to mention that and where you are with that. But what should policing do, Adam?
I mean, I think I would just echo what Donovan said without being able to. I haven't watched the show, so my touch points aren't the same. I don't have that to reference. But it's, if you're engaged in the community that you work in, I think it's always, I know this is a problem in bigger cities than what Blaine and I live in, for sure, but even in the Shoals, there's definitely a lot of folks who drive in from the county to police folks that don't look like them or think like them or whatever in the city proper, mm-hmm. which is problematic for me, which is, again, just goes back to that phrase of community, that are really engaged with a place and don't kind of don your police armor, both mentally and physically, when you go to work, then I think you view people differently. That, I mean, that's got to be a huge, you know, Blaine, you mentioned in the wake of the summer of 2020 that, you know, ACAB and defund the police and all these things kind of became mottos, but they may overlook the fact that there are bad guys and bad folks in the world that society has to find a way to deal with. So it's nothing simple, you know.
It's almost like, at least some of the stuff that I've read postulated that there's one of the problems with policing is it almost gets this kind of mission creep where every other service has been defunded.
Yeah, so that was gonna be the next thing I said, was that it would probably, and probably 99% of cops would be in favor of this. Let's say what policing is not.
Yeah.
You know, this is not right. Social work. It's not an EMT. It's not a therapist. It's not whatever. Crisis counselor. All these things that they're like a Band-Aid that the government has put on society.
What you do, in my opinion, is you fund a lot of money to help people in poverty, to help everyone with mental health, to help people who are going hungry and things like that. Then you legalize certain drugs, such as marijuana. You go federal with that. You legalize that. You let people out of jail who are only in there for nonviolent marijuana arrest, get them out of jail. And then you reconfigure the police department just a little so that you have your straight-on police who can handle violence when it erupts. But almost all of the time, they're being paired with a social worker or a mental counselor. And it's one of those things where if they get the call and they're like, this sounds like one where I need my mental counselor partner, then they make sure that that goes with them. And it might be that the cop stays in the car on that visit, and the mental counselor comes and says, hey, what's going on? Oh, okay, well, you just need to calm down. Let me make sure you have an appointment next week with so-and-so, Dr. So-and-so. And then they get back in the car and they go back. It's not, you know, it's the old, if you see everything as a nail, you're going to bring a hammer.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And that's not the way to do it.
And I think, I don't know how this fits into this conversation, but I think we do see one of the things that the show has in the background is what communities are policed or over policed. Mm-hmm. Especially, I remember in the first episode, the people being rounded up and brought in and harassed are all black men. Somehow in this solution, it's got to be so that a particular, and maybe it just goes back to community policing or something like that, but that these communities that are not being targeted by over policing.
Yeah, and you should live in the area you're policing.
Yeah,
we could go on, and this is what this show will get you to think about if you watch it with a keen eye.
Yes,
or even if you halfway watch it. Let's go into our break, and on the other side, we're going to talk a much less involved conversation with the Challenge All-Stars. Hey, listeners of Taking It Down, let us know if you are a listener. We need to know. Who knows? You could be the hashtag done up real good listener of the week. Reply to us online. Comment on the site, at us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. We'll know you've tuned in, and maybe you, yes you, could win Listener of the Week. Anything Alabama Take related can be yours if you go to thealabamatake.com, click shop, venture into our online store there. And if you want to support us, it will be so helpful. You can do that by going to the online shop or just click donate at the top. Those funds will help keep the site up, looking good, and our bevy of podcasts going strong. As for this show, Taking It Down, we'll be off next week. We're going to play catch up. But you know what? This isn't all we've got with the Alabama Take. There's always something going on. New writing appears and new podcast. That's right. This Friday, May 20th, Alabama Slam hosted. This Friday, May 20th, Alabama Slam, hosted by Patrick Akers and Corey Hanna, where they recount and dissect the world of professional wrestling, will be there for you. First episode goes Friday. You're going to want to listen to that. Find it in your podcast app, Alabama Slam. And you know what? Coming in June, just a few weeks away, is the third season of The Funny and the Cruel. This Song Sucks, brought to you by Josh Kavanaugh and Hayden Crawford. Third season of that, destined to be a favorite amongst the crowds. Follow us online at any of those accounts, This Song Sucks, Alabama Slam, or just The Alabama Take. We'll give you up-to-date scoops on anything that's happening online or with our shows. Let's get back into our second segment. Before we go further, neither of you watched Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, have you?
Have not found the time to hit the theater, no.
Yeah, haven't had the, what is it, like 2.5 hours?
2:10, I think.
2:10, is it 2:10? That's better than I thought.
Yeah, a little better.
No, the Multiverse Madness continues without me.
As it has since the dawn of time, Donovan.
Yeah.
Here we are. We don't hesitate or shy away from a chance to talk about The Challenge. And the first two episodes of The Challenge All-Star aired on Wednesday. They dropped two on us on Paramount Plus. If you know anything about The Challenge and even a few years of its history, this is standard fare for you. But Adam and I get a kick out of it. Adam, anything surprise you about the first two episodes?
Are you I guess they announced the cast beforehand. That's the only spoiler that I'll read related to The Challenge is whenever they go off the film, they usually know who's there somehow. Somehow that's leaked out. And so I was very excited about the lineup of competitors this time, which I'm sure we'll get into.
I didn't know them.
Well, I mean, a lot of them are still folks who appear on the main show.
It, right. No, I mean, I didn't spoil myself with that information.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the price of poker has gone up a little bit for the folks that have been there since season one.
The biggest narrative here has to be is that Wes is on his first All-Stars. He made some pretty disparaging remarks about Yes in Entertainment Weekly this week and also on the show. And he's given plenty of eye rolls at Yes in that first episode.
He's coming after your guy.
I like him. Do you not like Wes? I mean, excuse me, Yes? I'm going to do that,
I'm
sure.
It's going to get very confusing.
Yeah.
No, I like them both. I think Yes in the first season was, you know, he plays like most people think that they would play the game, right? Just kind of quietly, you know, try not to make any waves, try not to offend anybody, kind of be friends with who you can be friends with, make it to the end, and then do your best. And he ended up being, you know, the final was very well suited to him.
I mean, Darrell plays a similar game.
He's a little more engaged politically. Specifically, the last season of All-Stars, he was a bit more, you know, there were two factions in the house that were kind of warring, and he was definitely on one side.
Uh-huh.
But on the main show, he's definitely kind of ridden the old man not really engaging with the youths wave for quite some time, mm-hmm. which he can't do. Now he's kind of back amongst his peers.
So the first big narrative, of course, Wes is on the show. And I'll contend that the mention of a coffee enema comes in as a very close second narrative.
I cannot believe that my phone did not like fall onto the floor Wednesday evening with you and Jeff, our beloved Jeff, watching it, or whenever you might have watched it. When that happened, I was like, this is the Venn diagram of who it's cracking up.
Kellyanne
at this.
Mentions in the show. Kellyanne mentions the possibility of doing a coffee enema since she and Tyler are on the show together, and then she brings up a chocolate enema, which I immediately Googled. I don't think it's a thing. Yeah. No,
why would it be? Now the reason that we're laughing.
That's what I wanted to know.
The reason we're laughing so much is if you have never gotten on YouTube and looked up the My Strange Addiction coffee enema episode or scenes or whatever, highly recommended. It's held up quite well.
Mm-hmm. About 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, that was just the most pervasive running joke amongst our friends was that we were definitely going to get around to trying a coffee enema. And, you know, that was that's the joke part, is that we were not going to do that. But, geez, there is some intrigue there, isn't there? don't know, but Tyler's gone from after the first episode, so we might not see that. You got a gal or a guy you're rooting for in particular?
Oh, sad to see Tyler go. Tyler seems like a nice guy. But at this point, most of these guys were fan favorites at some point. Or, if not favorites, then people that you loved to hate. I'll start with the women's side. There's a few folks that are making their first appearance who are definitely younger than some of the other castmates. That's Sylvia, who I think seems to be just a lovely human being. She's there, and I think she'll offer a lot of great insights in her talking head, her confessional stuff. Kayla, who is like maybe 30. I don't know how she's on All Stars already. She should be in the thick of her main show career, but here she is. Who's always been physically, has all the tools in the world, but mentally, I mean, we saw her work with the puzzle this week. Maybe not the sharpest. It'll be interesting to see how they do. I mean, I still think in episode two. So are we into episode two? Can we spoil things?
I'm just talking about them as both as a whole.
Yeah. So episode two, when John A. immediately figures out how to do that swing in the daily and kicks the thing to get the balloon, do the whole puzzle. It's like, how is she good at everything? Until someone proves otherwise, I think she's the person to beat on that side.
Yeah.
And for the guys, I mean, Jordan's there. As much as Wes has been the buzzed about participant, Jordan is by far the best challenger to ever be on a season of All Stars. And this guy has run,
making a new sartorial choice with the cowboy hat.
Yeah, and the hair that just seems to
win the hair.
Get the buzzer out and the clippers out and do it in the dark. I think that's kind of his approach to his haircut. But hey, he's making it work for him. It was interesting to see Naya, his old frenemy, I guess, back. They were on Real World together, and she ended up actually getting kicked off right before a final, a season of The Challenge, for basically like sexually assaulting him in a way. It was real weird, but they always had a very strange, like they were friends but just took it too far kind of thing. So,
and I think, but now they're dating.
I don't think they're dating. I think they're both, they're good friends now who maybe realized, you know, they both had to have that moment, both individually and together, where they said, I've made mistakes on this show in the past, that maybe acknowledging how much the climate has changed in the last 5 years, that they probably would have just been permanently canceled, banned for some of the things that they've done. But they're franchise favorites, kind of, especially Jordan more than Naya, but they're back.
Is it concerning that MJ is walking around with an e-brace?
Was he last season too? He seems like
not that I recall.
Seems like maybe that old kind of athlete that just always had the knee brace on sometimes.
Perhaps, but I've noticed it a lot this season. But it does crack me up. Yes, and Jordan making the sartorial choice of hats, especially in confessionals.
Yeah.
Do you relish Jimmy being on the show for someone to just hate?
I don't know why she's there necessarily. And I realize that she's like if there's a little...
To gross people out, I guess.
There's like a little fire popping, maybe. She's the can of gasoline that reality TV needs. But you kind of get that from like a Tina character already, who does it with, you know, can actually compete at times and is much funnier. So I don't know why.
You missed Save the Palace.
Will it come back? Feels like it might.
Maybe. We could. So the stars, if you win your elimination, you get a star, or you get the other person's stars, kind of the idea. That's a twist. Biggest thing, twist we've had thus far. What's that going
to
be?
I got to say, we've talked about this in regards to the main show before. The main show at times can be so convoluted in how it works and how the rules work, you know? And I love that this All-Stars is just committed to, if you did the worst that day, you have to go to elimination. That's great. That's how it should be. But I also appreciate that there's now six people involved in picking the other person out. So
yeah, it's tough.
That's a lot more dirty hands, you know? That's a lot of responsibility. You can't dodge as much. Like, Yes even said that he just wants to come in second as often as possible. And then Kayla said in the next episode, I'm coming in fourth from now on if I can control it. Just middle of the pack is the place to be. I don't know about the stars, though. Who knows what that's going to do?
Did they tease Bananas joining the cast or making an appearance?
They teased it after the first episode where they kind of had that almost season-long trailer. And I don't know if he... They showed him, right? But I don't know that it was like he's actually going to show up. That would be great.
That's huge. Even just teasing him is pretty big.
They used to do a... Fairly frequently, they would bring in like some heavyweights for eliminations, right? Like CT did it a few times. There was the famous one where CT carried Bananas. CT wasn't on that season. He came in and Tyler... And Bananas thought they were going to go against each other, and instead they both had to go against CT one at a time. And whoever did better got
to stay.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. I wish they would do
because
that
because CT got so pumped to do it, yet he wasn't on the season. Like there was no risk for him.
Yeah, Derek did it once. He came on and wrestled, pole wrestled with Joss, who hasn't been on in too long. He was a pretty good, he's kind of a boring guy, but very physically good at the game. But Derek, they wrestled.
For pole wrestle, they would need to bring in
Letarian.
Kyle. He's on the regular.
Kyle is a shockingly great guy at that game. Great pole wrestler, mm-hmm. which is an odd thing to call someone, but odd that he's that good at it. Would love to see him and Letarian go toe to toe. Letarian's a scary guy.
Yeah. I think it was funny to get Darrell's villain or superhero origin story about heights because every season he hates heights. And now we know why. He was left on a roller coaster. His mom forcing him.
He doesn't like him. He hates him.
I think Wes's biggest fuel, maybe his detriment, is that he keeps too close to the Pult of Phantom. You know, like he's very aware of Yes's likability.
Mm.
And I think if he would just separate himself from social media, I think he might do even better by separating himself from that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, I am so here for the Wes versus Yes feud that's brewing and then throw Jordan into the mix. That's a promising season.
I mean, I guess he zeroed in on Yes because Yes won and seems like a threat. But, I mean, Jordan is the man to beat. Mm. I don't know why he's... Wes makes some interesting choices. And I agree, he seems like a... I mean, he tweets like a fan of the show when he's not on it, you know? So I think he may know that the drama is good.
We'll probably comment on this one here and there throughout. So no show next week. That brings us to the end of our episode. We thank you again for listening. As always, follow the Alabama Take on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We'll keep you updated on what's coming on this show, as well as the website and other podcasts. Don't forget, Alabama Slam debuts Friday, May 20th. You can find it on any podcast app or directly from our site. We'll be back on May 31st, and we will talk to you all then.